encourage you to open the Pew Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You'll find it on page 1172. 1172. If you're using the large print Bible, it's on page 1839. Today's message is entitled A Union of Glory. I will begin the scripture in a minute. In last week's examination of this scripture, we focused on Christians living through sufferings, trials, and persecution. The Thessalonians and modern day Christians are able to face hardships by the sustaining grace and power of God. Spiritually, they are more than sustained because their faith and their love grows. Today, we will focus on one, a dire warning, and two, an almost incomprehensible promise of blessing. Hear the word of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with an everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, my friends, it includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present, God Almighty, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. Lord, we pray, God, the Holy Spirit, upon this gathering and upon me, that you would bless this word, that we would see and hear what you desire to reveal, that we would respond appropriately. Do not let this preacher get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, a union of glory. Don't we all want the good guys to get what they deserve and the bad guys to get what they deserve? When there is corruption, lying, stealing, bribery and the like, don't we want to see it end and the perpetrators punished? When we see violence, greed, and covetousness raise their ugly head, don't we want to see it end and the victims compensated and penalties paid? When dictators and despots grab power and their appetites bring oppression, doesn't it make you angry? How about when the world infiltrates the church, like the Russian Orthodox Church, and evil men collude with these dictators and despots? Not only is that happening now in the Ukraine, but it has been going on for nearly a decade, just not on the current scale. My friend, God's decrees and promises, they bring me comfort. It seems right to me that evil will be brought to justice and the saints of God will be redeemed. It seems perfectly fitting that there will be judgment. Remember, God's judgment is right. God is just. Our God never gets it wrong, always gets it right. He is perfectly righteous and the perfect judge. Not only is the evidence complete and accurate, it has not been tainted in any way. The standards have been made known. The world is without excuse. The one who can see into the human heart does not judge like men judge. Remember when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham was being an intercessor and speaking to the Lord. He said, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you!" Exclamation mark. "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord agreed that if 10 righteous people could be found, he would not destroy the cities. Did he find 10 righteous people? No. You see, my friends, God is long-suffering, merciful, and loving. The destruction of the wicked gives him no pleasure. Do not think of God's wrath in human terms. Do not think of divine vengeance in terms of human revenge. Think of Jehovah's justice like God's gravity. It is simply a fact in God's creation. The cosmic scales of justice require righteous consequences. These Thessalonians are being encouraged by Paul to keep being who they are in Jesus, holy people. They are being severely persecuted, troubled, or suffering. In the next chapter of this letter, there's a section with the heading, "Stand Firm." But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And by letter, he means God's holy word. My friends, I must remind you that our Bibles are a record of the battle between good and evil. The day is coming when Jesus will return to usher in the kingdom in all its fullness. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, it will be in blazing fire with his powerful angels. And with the happenings in Ukraine, I know that many people are fearful. They wonder about World War III. They wonder if we are approaching the end times and if that consuming fire to come is from nuclear war. I do not know. But it would not surprise me if what is happening with the recent Russian invasion of Ukraine, if it's not part of the cosmic clash between good and evil. I read an enlightening article in an online magazine called Firebrand. It's written by conservative Methodists. It was published on Tuesday. The author is Todd Marshall, a former missionary to the Ukraine. The article may also reframe our understanding that persecution for their faith may also be in play there in Ukraine. Here's an excerpt of that article. What many people don't know is that Ukraine is the Bible Belt of the former Soviet Union. There are more believers in Ukraine than in the whole former Soviet Union combined. It has more seminaries, Bible colleges, and evangelical churches than in all of Russia. When I was there, I often said that when the generation that never lived under communism came into leadership, which is now, the church in Ukraine would become a mighty force for the gospel. Ukraine has the largest concentration of evangelicals in all of Eurasia, Europe and Asia together. It is in a strategic location and has begun to send out missionaries. Over recent years, Ukraine has become a hotbed of church planting and mission work, going where Americans could not or would not go. Now, at this critical moment in church history, the enemy is attacking and seeking to destroy the work of God. Some seminaries and churches have turned into refugee centers, while others have had to evacuate. We are seeing sin and the work of the evil one on full display. This is a physical manifestation of a spiritual war in Ukraine and the world. Satan does not care who wins or loses. Satan celebrates the death, destruction, and the magnification of evil. God, however, brings good out of evil and is spreading the seed of the gospel through these Christian refugees who will have a strategic voice in their new homelands. The people they will encounter will say, "Tell me your story." Pray that these Ukrainians will have the courage and strength to give testimony to God's grace despite their suffering. Anybody hear this on ABC or NBC, CBS or Fox? No. I think he was the author of this Todd Marshall was there, I think, 8 years as a missionary. Do you want justice for Ukraine? Do you want justice for all the persecuted Christians and oppressed people in the world? Our God promises that very thing. And make no mistake, those causing the suffering, will be punished with everlasting destruction. This is a foreboding warning. It is hard to even comprehend a destruction without end. And yet, that is what the Bible teaches. If that makes you uncomfortable to contemplate, I think that's a good thing. Who are those bound for destruction? Those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. If they knew God, they would obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They would live under the law of love. They would love their neighbor as themselves. You cannot love God and hate God's children. The good news of Jesus, received by faith, results in an ever-increasing love. So we have two groups of people, the saints who will be glorified by, with, and in Jesus, and the ain'ts who are bound for everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Well, Pastor, what about those in the middle? There is no middle mentioned in the scriptures. There are only two destinations. Some might think, I'm not oppressing anyone. I'm not violent. I do more good than bad. I'm basically a pretty good person. Romans 14, 23. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because he is eating not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Do you have an active conscience? If not, you cannot be living in Christ. Do you ever act in a way about which you feel convicted by that conscience? Repent. Trust and obey God, the Holy Spirit within you. Live by your faith, your trust in Jesus. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We live in a world made by a divine creator. The Lord Almighty laid the foundations of the world, and all that has been made must exist within the parameters of the Lord's will. not only actions, but motivations must be pure and heavenly guided. Like these Thessalonians, we must live out a faith that is growing more and more. To be among the saints brings a series of great promises. Jesus will be glorified in his people. The name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in Christians, and we will be glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to be glorified? We hear glory and glorified all the time, but do we really know what they mean? Well, I'm going to start with the Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition of glory. You have to know what glory is before you can know what glorification is. Glory, praise, honor, or distinction extended by common consent. Renown, it's worshipful praise, honor, and thanksgiving, giving glory to God. Glory, something that secures praise or renown, the glory of a brilliant career. Remember, this is Merriam-Webster. Glory, a distinguished quality or asset. A great beauty and splendor, magnificence. Something marked by beauty or resplendent, a perfect glory of a day. The splendor and beatific happiness of heaven, broadly eternity. Glory, a state of great gratification or exaltation. A height of prosperity or achievement. Okay, so that's glory. Now here's the definition of glorify. To make glorious by bestowing honor, praise, or admiration. To elevate to celestial glory. To light up brilliantly. To represent as glorious, to extol, a song glorifying romantic love or a song glorifying God. Glorify, to cause or to be or seem to be better than the actual condition. The saints reflect Jesus' glory, right? To give glory as in worship, glorification. Well, if you were to pull out your hymnal there and look at the table of contents, you will see that the hymn started page 57. And the first section in the table of contents is titled, The Glory of the Triune God. And that section goes from page 57 all the way to page 152. We give glory to God with our hymns of praise and worship. Why? Because he deserves it and because we love him. There are some biblical aspects of glory not addressed by the Merriam-Webster dictionary. They're only kind of hinted at. Part of God's glory is his infinite perfections, purity, moral attributes, holiness, righteousness. Our God is the culmination of glory. Remember, I opened service with Psalm 24. Five times in Psalm 24, God is called the King of Glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, we're told in God's word. God is the consummation of glory from Isaiah. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Habakkuk, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Bible has a lot to say about the glory of God. Jesus, as God the Son, is glorified with God the Father. The Gospel of John, you know this verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. What an incomprehensibly awesome promise that God offers us participation in his glory. Christians, God's holy people, who the Bible calls saints, you and I, can share in God's glory in a mysterious way. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Apostle Peter. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Colossians 1, verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. This amazes me. What an awesome idea. We need to take hold of this promise, take comfort in it, and live into it. Preacher J.I. Packer explains, starting with 2 Corinthians, he says, it gives us one verse, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's living into it. And he explains, glorification is the scriptural name for God's completion of what he began when he regenerated us, when we were born again, right? Namely, our moral and spiritual reconstruction show us to be perfectly and permanently conformed to Christ. Glorification is a work of transforming power, whereby God finally turns us into sinless creatures in deathless bodies. The idea of our glorified final state includes a perfect knowledge of grace through limitless extension of our powers of understanding, perfect enjoyment of seeing and being with the Father and the Son, perfect worship and service of God out of a perfectly integrated nature and a heart set perfectly free for love and obedience, a perfect deliverance from all that is experienced as sinful, evil, weakening, and frustrating. Perfect fulfillment of our unconscious desires for communion with God. Perfect completion of all that was good and valuable in this world's life, but that had to be left incomplete because desire outran capacity. And endless personal growth in the encompassing of all these perfect things. Again, the text of the sermon will be on the church page probably tomorrow. That's a lot to absorb. Through this participation in God's glory, there is union with Christ in his glory. Christ is glorified in and through his holy people. It is because of Christ's manifestation within us, through faith, not from anything that originated in us. The name of our Lord Jesus refers to the fullness of all that he is, which will be glorified in us and us in him, according to the grace of our God. How can that be? Charles Spurgeon used an interesting illustration that I'm going to modify a little bit. Imagine a space full of mirrors. And in the center of the space is the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory, brilliance, radiance, and majesty. And we Christians Christ's saints are the mirrors surrounding Christ and filling that space. And Jesus' glory fills that space. We reflect it back. And it reflects off the other mirrors, which reflect off the other mirrors. And the glory of God cannot be contained, and it bursts forth into all creation. My friends, humankind is offered here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 a clear-cut choice. They can choose eternal destruction, a fire that never goes out and a worm that never dies. Or they can choose an amazing union with their Creator and glory, joy, and love. On the night before his crucifixion, death, and burial, Jesus prays for all believers. He says, my prayer is not for them alone, his disciples that are there with him. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I may myself be in them, in you. Jesus prays to the Father that he may be in you. What a glorious God that we have. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Lord, this is too much for us to take in. It is hard for us to conceive of something that we've never experienced, except for maybe just a tiny, tiny taste. But Lord, you said it over and over again. You make it crystal clear if we would only try to see it. Lord, if we could live into this, your kingdom would come. Earth would be like heaven. We know, Lord, that that is your desire, that is your purpose, and it will come to fruition. In the meantime, Lord, may we share this great good news with others. May God the Holy Spirit lead us to someone that needs to hear this great word. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.